What'd you say, Brother Brown?
Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Yes, indeed. You are once again in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show with your host, Brother James Brown, Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go into prayer with me at this time, because we serve an awesome God. He can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. But before we go into prayer, I'm soliciting your prayers for our church mother, Mother Phillips. I am praying for our bishop, Bishop James A. Jennings, in the loss of his father. The homegoing service was this past Saturday. Also lifting up my entire family in the loss of my brother, retired Wayne County deputy of 31 years, my brother Curtis Lee Brown, made his transition on Tuesday, February the 18th. His viewing will be this coming Monday at the Clora Funeral Home from 4 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. For those of you all that would like to come be with us, my family, during his visitation. Again, his viewing will be this coming Monday, March the 2nd, from 4 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. The address is 5801 East 7 Mile. That's 5801 East 7 Mile, Detroit, Michigan, 48234 is the zip code. I'm also praying and lifting up all those that are in the loss of loved ones on tonight. We know that Osho has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So we continue to lift up all those that have bereaved on tonight. We continue to lift up all those that are sick and afflicted, and because we're all going through something at this time in life, and God did not tell us that it was going to be easy. I am also soliciting your prayers for myself as I have started my chemotherapy and radiation this past Monday, but I'm still claiming healing and deliverance for myself in the name of Jesus Christ, because by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed in Jesus' name. So we are going to lift up all those that are tuned in on tonight that have illnesses in their bodies, those that are dealing with the death and the loss of loved ones all over the land. Continue to pray with me as we go into prayer and approach God's throne on tonight. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what we're going through, we know that you're still worthy to be praised. We know that there is none like you in all the earth. We bless your name because of who you are. Now, Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus, asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain, because your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. So forgive us now, Heavenly Father, of all of our sins and our transgressions. In Jesus' name we pray. Continue to touch and heal those that are sick in their bodies. We want to lift up our brother from Greater Shield of Faith, Brother Ballard. Heavenly Father, LaShawn Ballard, you know what he's going through. So we're claiming healing for him even now in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will comfort and strengthen those that have breathed all over the land. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward each one of us. We know that we don't deserve it. Now, Lord, we pray and lift up our man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, who's going to bring forth your word on tonight. We ask that you would touch him, Lord, use him for your glory on tonight, because you know who's going to be listening and what we all stand in need of. So we just give you the glory, honor, and praise for your word that's going to go through him on tonight through the poem and also the message. We just ask, Lord, that you would move by your spirit, have your way, continue to bless each listener as they continue to tune in and be blessed by your word over this worldwide platform. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, God never told us life would be pain-free. Once again, spiritual food for thought. God never told us life would be pain-free, and that's a fact. So right now, I am not going to do a music break, because I want to give Deacon Marvin Cox his allotted time. He always shares with us inspirational poems. Then he's going to go directly into God's word. So I'm asking all listeners, if you would please get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready, so that you can follow along with God's word on tonight. And I am still feasting off of last Thursday's message that came through. We had a message last Saturday from Pastor Norman King from Greensboro, North Carolina. His message title was Stop the Spiritual Sleeping. And his main scripture was found in Revelations chapter 3, verse 2. And then we had on the Thursday, February the 20th, none other than Pastor Eric Morpheus, the pastor of Eagle Wings Church, which is located in Warren, Michigan. He brought a message titled Transition to Transformation. Again, his message title was Transition to Transformation, and he came out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. I am still feasting off of those two powerful words from those awesome men of God. So if you have your laptop, your phones, or your iPads, you can always go back to my website, which is also blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassador/vessel. You can always go back to those archives, and you can listen to those messages. Once again, on last Saturday night, from Pastor Norman King, the pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministry, located in Greensboro, North Carolina. His message title, once again, was Stop the Sleeping. His message title, main scripture, came from Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. Then we had on February the 20th, Pastor Eric Morpheus came forth with another powerful word. His message title was Transition to Transformation. His main scripture was found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. You want to go back and you want to be blessed by those awesome words from the Lord. I knew I was truly blessed by those words from Pastor Norman King and from Pastor Eric Morpheus. So now we're ready for another word on tonight from my guest, none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. Again, he's going to share with us an inspirational poem first, then he's going to go directly into God's word. So I'm asking all listeners, please get your Bibles. You should have them out already so you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as we get ready to deliver God's word on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. I thank you once again, Brother Brown, for that wonderful introduction. I thank the Lord for allowing me to make it from last year to this year. I was just listening to what you were saying, Brother Brown, and it seems like there's a lot of people right now that are grieving. And if you don't mind, I know that the Lord's program is always subject to change when, when you're doing it for him. You may want to do it one way, but he may want you to do it another way. So for the bereaved families, I'm going to bring forth two poems. One is for the bereaved family. And Brother Brown, this is a special dedication to you and your family and all the people that you did, all the people that's, you know, lost loved ones. And this is all over the world. And this is a special message. This is to uplift all of those who may have a bowed down head. And it reads, nobody knows. Nobody knows what you're going through. Nobody knows, only the good Lord and you. No calculator can count the tears that you cried. No MRI can detect how you feel on the inside. No one really knows how unreal this all seems. If we can just wake up from this really bad dream. But this is no dream. This is for real. So no one knows of how helpless you feel. No one knows of the heartache and pain. Nobody knows of the heartache and pain. They're free of their burden, so there's no need to complain. The Lord truly knows. The Lord truly knows of what you're going through. He wants you to bring your burdens to him so that he can comfort you. He is saving every one of the tears that you cried to nourish the love that you have on inside. We all know that this is not a bad dream. If you just trust in the Lord, there will be no reason to scream. Grief can make you feel like you're going insane. Let's all rejoice that our loved one will experience no more pain. There's no reason to feel helpless. Their mind is at peace. Their soul is at rest. The hardest thing in life is learning how to let go while they left us without saying goodbye. Only the good Lord may know. Amen. And that's for all of the bereaving families. There is one that knows. There is one that understands. There is one that will comfort you. Amen. Now, immediately going to tonight's lesson, the poem that the Lord gave me to bring to his people tonight is called Lonely Roads, Heavy Loads. Lonely roads, heavy loads, traveling down life's highway, intended to do good, but misunderstood because I did things my way. Lonely roads, the one you must travel by yourself. Heavy loads, the ones you can't put on the shelf. Always moving forward, trying hard not to look behind. On the side of the road, many warning signs. Merge left, turn right, go slow, move fast. The road to your future is connected to your past. Twists and turns, dips and bends, on a road of heartaches that seems to never end. Happiness and contentment, just a few exits away. Toll bridge ahead, everyone must pay. There's a black and orange sign. No, there's one thing that will make anybody unsure. That's the black and orange sign that says detour. It simply means you had to get off of this road and travel on one that wasn't designed to carry your load. So much frustration, mile after mile, I'll just pull to the side of the road and rest for a while. Lonely roads, heavy loads, the one we must all travel along. Don't feel sorry for me, I just want to be free. I got lost and couldn't find my way home. Amen. Now, tonight's lesson is coming from Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, the 6th verse, and I'll be reading it to you out of the King James Bible, and it reads, be strong and of good courage. Do not be terrified of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Now, it's kind of ironic, but this is, I just read it to you from the King James Version of the Bible, Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, 6th verse. May Lord add a blessing to reading, hearing, and doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our souls forever. Now, this may seem ironic, but the topic and the scripture is the question as well as the answer. And the reason the Lord gave me this particular scripture is because these brethren at that time, they were dealing with a lot of adversity. But the Lord will always come in and give you comfort. He will encourage you. He will tell you that whenever you seem like you don't have nobody to comfort you, to give you understanding, to give you companionship, that he's there, which brings us to our topic for tonight. Our topic for tonight is lonely in the midst of a crowd. And see, this is one emotion that nobody can escape from. This is the one emotion that man, every man on this earth, has feelings of loneliness at one time or another. And the topic says lonely in the midst of a crowd. And I know I've experienced on many different occasions in the middle of service, it seemed like God is just so far away from me. In the middle of doing things, and when it's hustle and bustle all around, I know that each of us, every last one of us, have had those lost and those lonely feelings. And see, lonely is to feel unappreciated. Lonely is to be isolated. Lonely is to be in a position where we feel that there is no one that is willing to, that don't nobody cares about us. And if we're not careful, this will start a chain reaction that will send even the best of us into a depression. Now, I've seen pastors on Sunday bring forth a beautiful message, but then at the end of the day, those that were single will go home to an empty house. No children, no wife, no one to love them, and no one to wipe the sweat off of their brow from the day's activity. So this is something, as I was saying, that no one is exempt from having these feelings of loneliness. Now, we're going to start off here with the Lord. We know that the Lord, he might as well say to a certain degree that he was almost like the Maytag man. He was lonely. And the reason I say that is if you go to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, the 3rd verse, it tells us that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Now, if you were to think with me for a moment, that is the type of person that will feel that they're friendless. That's the type of person that will feel that you would almost say, what is the use? But see, he had a mission. He had something to do for God that he would not allow himself to give in to the flesh. Even as he was, you might say, how could the Lord be lonely? But even when he was on Golgotha's hill and they were persecuting him and they were doing and piercing him in the side and the night before they had whipped him all night long, when the pain becomes so excruciating for him, and he said something. Now you tell me that this is not the words of an individual that was lonely. I mean, there was many people on the hill, Golgotha's hill, that were witnessing his crucifixion. There were many people there that were scourging him and mocking him and spitting on him and doing all these things. But in one brief moment of the flesh, he cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which translated means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And during that time, he come to himself. He said, Lord, not my will, but your will. So some of us, when we go through these lonely spells, we ask ourselves, is it worth it for me to get cussed out? Is it worth it for you to get cussed out when all you're doing is loving somebody? All you're doing is got somebody's best interest in your heart. All you're doing is trying to protect someone from things that they wish that they were not protected from. So, as I was saying, the Lord, during that time, and the people that he hung out with, he said he would reject the men. Let me go over that. He would reject the men. They were saying that he was not a man because he hung out with a tax collector, a publican, which was Matthew. He hung out and he walked with a limited group. He walked with fishermen. He walked with tent builders. And so if you think about this, these were not people who had great occupations. Even, you know, according to the word, Mary Magdalene was a harlot. So anybody that keeps the company of these type of people, no one would look up to that person. No one would say that this person, you know, I want to invite them over for Sunday dinner. But the things that he did, the things that he represented, the people that he healed, and I'm not saying that serving the Lord is a thankless job, but when he healed the lepers, only one of them came back and said, Lord, I thank you. All the miracles that he performed, restoring sight and having the blind to see, the lame to talk, the lame to walk, the mute to talk, all of these miracles. Now, can you imagine? Not that none of us is looking for a pat on the back for the things that we do for the Lord, but to labor without any type of recognition, because all of us want to be encouraged one way or the other. But they'll say lonely in the midst of a crowd, it affects everybody. And I'm going to keep on reminding you that. Don't think for one minute that you're exempt from that. And I'm going to give you a few moral examples, but then I'm going to turn around and give you some spiritual examples. Now imagine, okay, we're going to go right for one hot minute with LeBron James. Okay, the game is a hotly contested game. In the last few seconds of the game, somebody said, okay, what we'll do, he's not a good foul shooter. So what we'll do, we will foul him, and we said we'll send him to the free throw line. Now imagine now, he's at home. He has a good crowd backing him. But the crowd falls completely silent. He's on that free throw line 15 feet away from the basket, alone, lonely with his thoughts, having a tug of war with himself. Now, there's 22,000 people in the stadium who are cheering for him, but to encourage him, they say nothing. So it's a lot of different types of lonely where an individual feels isolated. They have to survive on their own merits according to the deeds that's done in their body. And see, that's an awesome responsibility to step up to the plate. You know, fathers, mothers, when your children are hungry and you got to go out there and work and labor, and then on the weekend, the fruit of your labor, you have to think about how you're going to distribute your money so that everybody will have a nutritious meal, so that you are providing for your family the lights and the gas and the nutrients and all the different things that they need to survive. That's a lonely. Being a mother is lonely. Sometimes it's thankless. Being a father is the same way. Sometimes it's thankless because the appreciation that we feel that we're supposed to receive from doing these things, even though it's a natural occurrence, when it comes down to providing for our family, we're not going to look for somebody to meet those particular needs, especially if we can do it ourselves. God's word said a man don't work, he doesn't deserve to eat. So these are many examples. Okay, the grandmother on Thanksgiving Day, all week long, she'd been preparing a nutritious meal for her family. But at the dinner table, she's silent. Why? Because she got a bad report from the doctor. They found some things that they got to do some corrective surgery for, and she don't exactly know how to tell her family that her life is in danger. Even though she spent hours and days preparing this meal, she's lonely. That mother, that church lady who's been laboring with the Lord all these years but don't get the recognition that she deserves. When everybody, new members come in and the congregation just fawn over these new members, they just run past this old member or this member that's been there for a while, and just to get to the new member, just to shake their hand, and along the way they pass this elderly lady or this elderly man or this sickly lady or this sickly man, and didn't even give them the recognition. Lonely. So we can be in these types of crowds, whereas we don't feel that we get the recognition that we're supposed to get. Okay, now moving right along, if we go to the book of Job, with all the calamities that came upon Job, he lost his family, he lost his land, he even had a bout of bad health. His friends assembled themselves to sit with him because they had made a pact that if one of the friends go down, that they all would leave their families and they would come to comfort him. But they sat for a number of days with Job, not saying anything, basically accusing him, well, what did you do to make God so angry with you? Now, could you imagine how that feels? You haven't done anything, but you're accused of doing something that you would never think about doing. That's got to be a lonely feeling. That's got to be one of the most lonely feelings you could have in the midst of a crowd. Now, these are friends. These are true friends. These are friends that traveled from miles away just to come there to be for him, just to be with him, just to give him comfort, just to give him encouragement. But sometimes people's best intentions, we don't interpret that as being as such. Why? Because of their silence, because of our loneliness. And see, in Deuteronomy 31:6, it's telling us about adversity. And see, adversity, and I want to tie it together, adversity brings about loneliness. When we go through adverse conditions, we feel that our isolation with our adversity, that only us can deal with it. And then we begin to think and to contemplate on it. And believe me when I tell you, all it does is send you into a deeper tailspin. It does not allow you to say, I'm going to rely on God for this. We forget. It gives us amnesia on God. And see, all it means is that somehow or another that we have allowed ourselves, not purposely, we have allowed ourselves to drift away from God's care. We have allowed ourselves to lean to our own understanding. You know, we asked ourselves, it was an inside joke that I had with one of my good buddies that passed away. I used to all the time ask him. I knew that this guy loved me, and I loved him too. But I would ask him, I'd say, Mr. Roberts, why don't you like me? Because we all want some type of acceptance. And he had an equally crazy response. He said, the reason I don't like you, Mr. Cox, is that you're not a likable fella. And it just tickled me, because sometimes we could be in the midst of family, friends, fellow people in the congregation, and so forth, and still be overwhelmed by loneliness. I mean, in the midst of a crowd, we feel that the lack of companionship can cause us to be lonely. The lack of understanding can cause us to be lonely. The lack of recognition. There's so many different things that will isolate us and pull us over to the side where the Lord tells us, don't be anxious about anything. Because, see, loneliness is a dark place. It's like sitting in a room at night by yourself and feeling like this is eternity. It's like being in a place with 1,000 people but feeling invisible to every one of them. It's like walking on a path without any directions, without any idea when it will end. Loneliness is feeling like you are meant to suffer alone. Loneliness is suffering alone. But see, what a friend we have in Jesus. Loneliness is unnatural. Human beings are to be in relationships. Loneliness is fear. There's no freedom in it. Loneliness is anxiety. Worries is sister. Uncertainty is friend. Loneliness is endless wonder about endless wondering. Loneliness is cold with no hope for warmth, but is also unbearable heat. Loneliness is an awful, awful, awful paradox. And see, as I say, no one is exempt from loneliness. No one can escape its grasp. But what are you going to do when loneliness comes knocking on your door? Because see, loneliness will lead to other things. It will lead you, I know it led me, to develop a doubt in God's capability. If I had went to the Lord and said, Lord, I feel so lonely, I feel so isolated, I feel like I don't belong, why everybody ignore me, why is everybody doing what they're doing, and they don't include me in their plans. But once again, what a friend we have in Jesus, because it says that he is a friend who will stick closer than a brother. He tells us, I will never leave you. In 31:6, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if I am for you, who can be against you? So I'm just trying to give my brothers and sisters a way out of this lonely trap, because lonely is like, it's like a snare. Because whenever we begin to feel this loneliness, we drift away from God and we begin to confide in those that are not godly. We begin to seek, or it was a song out in the 80s, called We Begin to Look for Love in All the Wrong Places. And that's not a good thing, because it's things out there that impersonate love, but they are not love. You know, companionship, excitement, recognition, acceptance, all of these things are impersonators. All these things are synonymous with love. All of these things can give us a temporary fix of a situation. It can take our mind and distract us for just a few minutes. But as I see that loneliness in the midst of a crowd, that's an opportunity for each and every last one of us to commune with God, to get closer to the Lord, to cast our burdens and our cares on him. Like that Nobody Knows poem said, hey, God wants you to bring your burdens to him. Nobody knows what you're going through. God wants you. God only knows what you're going through. He wants you to bring your burdens to him so that he can comfort you. But see, we sometimes forget about the comforter. We forget about lately in Detroit. It's been kind of warm, and you might wake up when you turn the heat down and wake up and it's a little chill in the house. So what do? We look down to the foot of the bed, and we pull that comforter up over our shoulders. And we feel comfortable, and we feel just as warm as toast. Why? Because that comforter has secured our warmth. It has took away the loneliness of being frozen and shivering. So it's time for us to look to that comforter. It's time for us to continuously go forth and do what it is that the Lord will have us to do, because now, at the beginning of the year, there are a lot of people that feel lonely. There are a lot of people that feel like they're isolated, that don't nobody care about them. But if you listen to this program long enough, at the end of this program, Brother Brown, he always reminds all the wonderful listeners that the Lord has blessed us with, I love you. And I'm going to tell you, it might seem insignificant right now, but I love you, and I love you with the love of God, not for who I want you to be, not for who I think you should be, but who you are, and that's a child of God. And see, the reason I say a child of God is because even as being a child of God, we all have our numerous flaws that we have to deal with. We all have our idiosyncrasies, our peculiar and our odd ways where we but God says that, his word says we are a peculiar people. So we're going to do some things and say some things that people are not going to understand. We're going to be merciful in some situations where people thought that our wrath would be upon them. So tell me, that's not peculiar. Or people going to say some things and do some things, and we're not going to respond in the same manner or with the same force that it was put out there. Because now is not the time to be lonely. Those people that have lost their loved ones, God is waiting on you. The Lord is waiting on you with outstretched arms. What a friend we have in Jesus, who will stick closer than a brother. And see, I mention a brother because, see, we deal with our brothers and sisters and our siblings out of obligation. Well, that's my mother's son, so I'm obligated to do something for him. But see, a friend, it crosses all barriers, all borders. A friend is not up on obligation. A friend will do for you without you asking him to. A friend will bring forth comfort. A friend will give you understanding. A friend will especially tell you when you're wrong, that you done stepped over the bounds of good conduct. Now, that's a friend. Because if I got somebody that's going to go along with my foolishness, believe me when I tell you, that is not a friend. Somebody that's going to condone my wrongdoing, that is not a friend. If all of those of you who say, well, they didn't say nothing or whatever, now, it might be, okay, we got to go over to Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, for this one right here. It may not be at that time for us to speak or say something about it. Because Ecclesiastes says it's the time of the season and purpose of everything up under the sun. Time to speak or time not to speak. So taking that into consideration, right then may not have been the time to speak, but I'm talking to repeat offenders. But God's word also says, if your brother is wrong, tell him about it. Don't let him get away feeling that he's justified in his wrongdoing. Now, some of us have tempers. Some of us may get out of line. Some of us may do things that we wouldn't normally do. Some of us may respond because somebody provoked us to anger. But see, that friend is going to tell you. That friend is not going to let you be lonely in your foolishness. He's going to give you the companionship that you needed by telling you, hey, that's wrong. You shouldn't have did that. You could have handled that in a different way. So there is so many people that are lonely so many people that need a kind word. So many people that need help. Because why? Because they feel helpless. They feel like nobody will do anything for them. But then it happens all the time. You probably have seen it on many occasions where we see things happening, and we always make that comparison. Well, if that was me, but see, God has a plan for you. And the reason I say that is because I'm not going to say nobody, but it's not too many people that want to suffer for the Lord. Because God will get the glory out of my loneliness if I turn to Him. If I let God be my wife, or let God be my son, or God be my companion, let the Lord be those things also, God would get the glory out of it, because people would look and they would say, with all the difficulties that this brother or this sister or whoever you may be is going through, they kept Jesus first in their life. Now, that's earlier in the conversation. Somehow or another, during the course of the day, or even during the course of a message, that lonely feeling will come upon you. And we know that when that lonely feeling comes upon you, that we start a self-made rebellion. But God understands. He understands this loneliness. I'm just telling you, just hold out for a little while. Preacher who's been laboring for years and years and years and years and years, and your congregation just seems like it's not growing. Just continue to preach to those faithful few who the Lord has sent to you, because everybody was not meant to minister to a large congregation. Lay member, keep those tithes coming in. It may seem like that's a lonely thing to do, because I'm more than sure that we could think of 100 different things that we could do with that tithe money. But Malachi asked us, he said, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. That's Malachi in the third chapter, like verses 6 through 10. I didn't say them all to you. But see, it's a reward for that. Say, I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it. So you're robbing me in tithes and in offerings. So, because I'm more than sure that somewhere along the line, during the course of the day or the course of a week, that there were a few extra dollars that we had that we spent it on trivial things, things that we did not need, or things that we found out that we really didn't want. We just ate dinner, but then we go past a Taco Bell and say, oh, I got a taste for Taco Bell. Spend $9 at Taco Bell. Come up short, robbing God. Lonely. And when one is lonely, the first thing they want is, as I say, they want some type of companionship. They want some type of understanding. They want some type of outreach. But see, nobody can read your mind. You have to take that to the Lord. You have to make Him aware of it. He already knows. But they say open confession is what? Good for the soul. So we must be able and be mindful and continuously tell ourselves, there's no reason for me to be lonely, because as far as I'm concerned, the Lord is the best company keeper that we can ever have. The Lord will attend. He will attend to your needs. He will comfort you. He's a friend. How do you say he's a friend? The song, Truly God Is Able, says he's a friend to the friendless. He's a mother to the mother, to the motherless. He's a father to the fatherless. He's my friend in sorrow. He's my hope for tomorrow. So sometimes we can get off track. We think that the companionship, or if we don't have people running across the room to ask for our autograph and everything, that we're not recognized. But see, God's word says, be careful when men think well of you. When men begin to pat you on the back and tell you, oh, that was a wonderful message that you brought forth. Responsibly, praise God. Without him, I would not have been able to do that. Because men will set you up for a downfall. It's not the time to be a glory thief. Now is not the time to be lonely. Now is not the time to not take your burdens to the Lord, cast your cares upon the water. But see, we can very easily forget these things and be overcome by depression, be overcome by worry. And see, now from Thanksgiving to this month, statistically speaking, this is the highest suicide rate during these 3 months, Thanksgiving, October, these 4 months, Thanksgiving, October, November, and December. Why? Because there are people who get so involved in Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Thirsty Tuesday, all these different things, that they forget that God is the best giver of them all, and the gift of life is the best gift that you can ever receive from anybody. We get so caught up in wanting to do things. I mean, it's good to want to do things for your family. It's good to be able to see your family's face light up when you know went out your way and spent your hard-earned money to do something that you think is fruitful to them. But don't put yourself out there like that. Why? Because the gifts are getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more expensive, which throws us into that loneliness. Once again, those decisions that we make cause us to be lonely because we have to make those decisions on our own. What am I going to do? How am I going to pay for that? I paid, you know, I ran up a big credit card account over the Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving holiday. Now I'm going to have to spend the next 8 months paying it down. I'm going to have to sacrifice. I'm not going to be able to enjoy the things that I would normally enjoy. Why? Because I got credit card debt. So see, if you notice, one thing leads to another. And there's no reason to be, but as I started off, the Lord was a lonely man. If you think about the scriptures that I just recited unto you, he was a man who was rejected and despised. Now, if somebody reject you and despise you, I'm more than sure. Now, see, he was God's son. Now, we're going to talk about us because we know that he was on a mission, that all of those things that he went through was a need be. And it was a need be so that we'd be able to enjoy the right to the tree of life. He was a sacrificial lamb. We know that we sacrifice sometimes for the good of our families, for the good of our wife, our children, our friends, our loved ones. We make that sacrifice. But the Lord gave up the ultimate sacrifice, which was his life. He gave up his life for us. Now, King David, he also was a lonely man. We talked about the Lord, talked about Job. Now we're going to talk about, we're talking about you, we talked about me. Now we're going to talk about King David. Over in Psalms, you can almost go to any one of the Psalms, or you could read through the Psalms. See, that's what I would recommend. Go to the Psalms and you can see that King David was asking the Lord, you know, hey, Lord, why did you leave me? You know, these people seek to take my life. And it's something else when you're in the midst of somebody or friends, or you know that they are seeking to take your life, or you know they don't care nothing about you. It brings about a loneliness that is hard to understand. If you look at your news, your sports people, your entertainers, there's a lot of people who entertain and are great entertainers. But in the process of them entertaining, they'll tell you, nobody understands me. Lonely. I go out there and I please hundreds and thousands and hundreds of thousands, millions of people during the big sporting events when they got those pay-per-views. But I'm unhappy. I'm isolated. Why is this? Because this lost and lonely feeling is inherent in mankind. It's just the Spirit speaking as man tries once again to find an opening in the worldly wall which man builds against God's touch, because we feel so self-sufficient that we don't need God much. So I'm just saying that these things that I'm talking to you on, this loneliness, it's a way out. Trust in the Lord. And it's easier said than done, because the flesh is something else. The flesh will rebel against you to the extent that it becomes the dictator. The flesh will not allow you to do what it is that God wants you to do. Okay, and we've got, okay, Psalms 1, 42, 4, and 5. So do you, which is one of King David's lament. You know, you like these scriptures, you can research on them later on. But say, do you feel abandoned, ignored? Now, this is not the scripture. Or rejected, or no one cares about you. You're surrounded by people, but still feel so lonely. Feeling overwhelmed by awesome responsibilities that only you have been assigned. When everyone seems to be celebrating, and you are so sad. I mean, what is that telling you, brother? What is it telling you, sister? It's telling you, and it's telling me, especially mainly me, it's telling me that we got to rely more on God. We got to ask God to take away this lonely feeling that I'm going through. Because I, you know, had a bout this past summer, and I was kind of upset because people seemed like they were not responding. So my son say, oh, you blaming me, huh? And it kind of stuck with me. When all I had to do to have that lonely feeling taken away from me was to trust God. Because, you know, loneliness will make you become the guest of honor at your own pity party. And you don't want to do that, because the gifts that you open will be depression, will be anxiety, will be all the things that will make you not draw near to God, but withdraw from God because you feel that no one cares. But I'm here to tell you this evening that God cares about you. The Lord cares about you. He's waiting with outstretched arms for you. Because the Lord is not going to force himself on you. We must have to submit ourselves to him. We have to say, Lord, I'm in trouble. If you notice when they have the Alcoholic Anonymous or any type of addiction therapy, and they're doing it in a group session, first thing they say is, hello, my name is such and such person, and I'm an addict. I'm this or I'm that. So I'm just saying that you have to admit it to yourself that I'm lonely. And you don't have to do nothing to somebody for them to withdraw from you. Because there are people in our homes, our brothers and our sisters, who don't like the way that we wear our hair, who don't like how prosperity seems to be our best friend. And guess what they do? They withdraw away from us. We say, ask the question that I asked my buddy, why don't you like me? Well, I don't like you because it seems like God is always blessing you. Now, isn't that strange? It seems like God is always blessing me and I'm serving him. It just seems obvious that if you serve him, he will bless you too. But we don't look at it like that. We're just looking for somebody to blame for our adversities. But as I said at the beginning, the scripture, Deuteronomy 31 and 6, tells me he's courageous. And don't be terrified for them, of them. Because I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that's a message. As I say, I started off with that. That's the question and the answer. So my brothers and my sisters, do not be afraid. Because man cannot do you no harm. We do more harm to ourselves by outthinking everything. So I thank God for allowing me to bring forth this message. Thank God for Brother Brown and, you know, our prayers is going up for all the bereaved family, all the people that are sick and all the people that are ill. And God just wanted us to bring our burdens to him because this is bigger than us. We can't handle this alone. Our brain is too feeble, and even the fastest computer, which is your mind, because you could download information that happened back in the 60s just like that and just like it happened yesterday. The computer take a second or two, but you could think about something and instantaneously it's there. But it's time not to lean to our own understanding. And as I said, we're praying for those that have lost people, those that are lonely, those that feel like they're not a part of things, those that seem like people have a celebration that don't include them. But hold on, way after a while, that ultimate celebration is waiting on you. So thank God for you. May God bless you. And may ever keep you. And I now turn you over back into the hands of Brother Brown. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Deacon Marvin Cox, for those two beautiful poems that you started off with on tonight. The poem for those that are bereaved, including myself and my family, and all those that are bereaved all over the land. And also the other poem that you read to us on tonight. Also, we want to thank God for giving his word on tonight. Lonely in the midst of a crowd. Lonely in the midst of the crowd. And that's very true. I found true myself. Sometimes I can be in the midst of a crowd, even in the midst of church family or my own individual biological family, and feel lonely. And but God don't want us to be that way. He said, just like you said in the word, he said we can cast all of our cares because he cares. We need to remember on tonight, God cares for us no matter what it looks like. Remember that God cares for you and I on tonight. So we got to close out in prayer. I'm asking all listeners if you'll please pray with me. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus. We come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name on tonight because you're worthy to be praised. No matter what it looks like, no matter what we're going through, you told us in your word, whether it's trials and tribulations and tests in this life, but you promised that you would be with us. So now, Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise for your word on tonight through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox. It's our prayer, Lord, that your word has not been our void, but it's going to accomplish everything that you have set out for it to do over on tonight, over the airwaves. Continue to comfort and strengthen your people that are bereaved on tonight. Continue to touch, heal, and deliver those that are sick in their bodies all over the land. My Heavenly Father, we thank you for your worldwide listeners that tuned in faithfully to this ministry, this broadcast. Continue to bless them and grant them the desires of their hearts. And Father, continue to bless your word as it goes forth through your vessels all over the land. every man, woman, boy, or girl that's standing on your word, teaching and preaching your word, continue to anoint them and strengthen them that they will stand on your word and not give opinions or feelings, but they will stand on your word, declaring your word, the good news of Jesus Christ, that others can be helped and delivered and set free, because you're still working miracles, signs, and wonders even on tonight. So we just thank you for who you are. Once again, we thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us, even though we know we don't deserve it. Now, Lord, we thank you that you are love, and you loved us before the foundation of the world. So we bless your people on tonight. Continue to have your way in each one of our lives. Your glory is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more than you can imagine. Until the next time you want to tune in this coming Saturday night, Pastor Norman King, the pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministries from Greensboro, North Carolina, will be bringing forth God's word on this coming Saturday night, February the 29th. You want to tune in and be blessed by this another awesome man of God on Saturday night. Until next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Again, know that I love you. God loves you even more. Until then, good night.
Almighty Savior, come on, my soul loves thee.